You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app. Allow push notifications and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO it's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.
This is Dante Lee, and you should check out Z, the SEO Queen.
This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO Queen.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google page one? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
Hello, this is Lady Z, a violinist. I'm coming to you because I wanted to encourage you to get your copy of Elevate. It's available on Apple Music and iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. So if you're listening to this on your computer or your cell phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, you can get your copy of this song, this show's theme song, by just going to Apple Music, Amazon, or Google Play and get it today. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO Queen.
This is Dante Lee, and you are listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secrets to success in technology, music, and business on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music and learn the secrets to music and technological success. Please follow us online at www.ladyzhe.com and on all social networks at ladyzhe. And if you're online, make sure you go to Instagram and follow me at Lady Z. So my next guest is a phenomenal marketer. This man has been in business for over 20 years. And is the owner of notable brands such as Black PR, BlackNews.com, BlackBusiness.com, BlackHistory.com, and GrantsForWomen.com, BlackJobs.com. I could go down the list, but if you go to DanteLee.com and TheRevenueDoctor.com, you can connect with him and learn so much more about Dante Lee. And so I would like to present to some and introduce to others, none other than Dante Lee. How are you today?
Thank you. I am doing great. Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much, Dante. So I want to go back to the beginning of your career. Like, what made you dive all into the internet? What made you see the power of a website?
It's a crazy story because I'm 39 now, right? And I started my company when I was 19, which is exactly 20 years ago, as you mentioned in the intro. And 20 years ago, the internet was around, but it was like brand new. And I was in college. I attended an HBCU. I went to Bowie State University. And I don't know, I just saw this potential with the web. Back then, the web was like very, very basic. Like, first of all, there were no tablets, there were no smartphones. People were not accessing the internet mobily. You had to be sitting down at a computer or a laptop to access the internet. And I don't know, it was just, I just kind of saw the potential. I saw things growing. I remember you could go to like a bank website, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, online banking back then. It was just like, you could see a list of all the locations of that bank and you could get details about opening an account. Maybe you could download an application, but there was no like, nothing like what you see today.
You couldn't conduct business online.
Not really.
I have a question. I want to get a little nostalgic here. What was your first email client that you used?
Believe it or not, I've been using Constant Contact all 20 years that I've been in business. I've been using Constant
Contact. Really?
That long. Yeah, it's really weird.
Oh, wow. I remember my first email client that I ever used was Eudora.
Eudora? Wow.
Yeah, oh, that's like a blast.
As far as sending out emails.
Right, sending out emails.
Oh, I was using Hotmail. That was my first one, Hotmail.
Okay, Hotmail. I had a Hotmail account too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought you meant like, what was I using to send out mass emails, like email marketing? But no, yeah, I remember Hotmail was out. And then there was Netscape, had some email.
That was my next question. You beat me to the punch. What was your first internet browser that you used?
Definitely was Netscape. I remember, and I guess your next question might be, what was your first search engine, right?
Yeah, what was your first search engine?
I remember when there was excite.com, there was live.com, there was ask.com, Yahoo.
Did you ever use Yogpile?
Yeah, I remember that. Google came around a little bit later. Yahoo was one of the like original big ones.
Right.
Came around a little bit later and just stole the spotlight, so to speak.
Yeah, I remember Google really came on the scene like really strong around 2000. And mm-hmm. I remember thinking to myself when I was like, Google, what's Google? And it's like, everybody was crazy about Google. And I was like, what's Google?
Yeah.
But then I quickly learned what Google was.
Yeah, because they came on the scene with this different algorithm. So like up until that point, every search engine did the same thing and produced the same results.
Right.
And Google had these algorithms where like, no, we're going to get you the best results. And they became known for that. And everybody just started switching to Google. And until now, they're the leader in that space.
Right. It was over 80% of the market share of search. Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible. So here you are, you know, you're in HBCU, you're 19, and you start your company. What was your first website?
My first website. So first of all, let me say this. When I was in college, I went to HBCU, which made me conscious about a lot of things that I was not aware of before. One of those things was Black Enterprise Magazine. So I was like 19 years old when I discovered Black Enterprise Magazine, even though it's been around like the 70s.
Right. And
reading this magazine on an HBCU campus, you just start thinking differently. And one of the first things that came to my mind was like, wow, I didn't know that Black people own businesses. Because I didn't grow up around entrepreneurs, Black entrepreneurs. I never really saw any Black entrepreneurs. And here I see a magazine full of Black entrepreneurs. And then I immediately started thinking like, well, what's their revenue model here? And then I started to understand the concept of having a publication and having an audience and being able to sell ad space and get paid from advertisers. And during that time, that concept was shifting online. People were starting to build out blogs and news websites with the same concept that if you get a lot of viewers, you can charge people for ads. Mm-hmm. This website. So I figured like, I didn't want to compete with Black Enterprise. I know I wouldn't be able to match exactly what they were doing, but I really liked what they were doing. And I said, okay, I'm going to create a website called blackbizjournal.com. So that was my very first website, blackbizjournal.com. The domain name is probably available now if anybody's want to go grab it, because I don't use it anymore. But After launching that website, I had a little bit of success, but then I realized, okay, this should really be more broad because I just don't have enough content to cover what Black people are doing in business. I mean, like now it's a little bit different, right? Like the whole Black owned or buy Black movement, like that's huge right now. But back then, right, it was kind of hard. It was still a little bit difficult to find, you know, a Black entrepreneur. So I ended up changing that website to blackheadlines.com. I was like, I'm just going to create a site that just talks about what's going on in Black America. And then, yeah, I'm going to try to get as much traffic as I possibly can. And then I'm going to try to monetize this with advertiser revenue. And that's how I got started. And then eventually, I'll tell you a strange story. It's kind of a weird story anyways. I had my eye on this domain, blacknews.com, because it really fit. It was like the most descriptive domain to fit what I wanted to do and what I was already doing. Mm-hmm. But it was owned by somebody else. But this person wasn't using it. Well, I found out back then, you know, when you wanted to look up who owned the domain, it wasn't like private or hidden. You could find out. You could get their address. You could get their phone number, email. So anyways, I found out that it was this guy who owned this company called Net Noir. Do you remember Net Noir?
No, I don't remember Net Noir.
That was like one of the first popular Black websites before Black Planet.
It sounds familiar, though. I don't remember going on that site, but it sounds familiar.
They were around. They were pretty big. Here's what happened, though. They were based in Baltimore, and the guy who owned the site, I forgot his name, honestly, he also had some kind of investment company on the side. I happened to be reading the paper one day, and I read that this guy is being indicted for investment fraud and he's going to jail. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. I'm like, wait a minute, isn't that the guy who owned blacksmiths.com? So I called this guy, right? His secretary picked up the phone because he hadn't been sentenced yet, right? And I don't even know if he was in the office, but I called his office, secretary picks up the phone, and I'm like, listen, I know this sounds weird, but I just read that so-and-so is going to jail and I know he owns blacknews.com. So I figure you guys are probably trying to liquidate some assets, maybe having a going to jail sale. I didn't say it like that, but that's what I was thinking.
Right.
And I said, can you, you know, I would be very interested in buying blacknews.com for you. She's like, all right, hold on, let me go check. So apparently he was there in office. She goes, disappears for like a couple seconds, comes back. She says, yeah, we can give it to you for $50,000. I was like, what? $50,000? I was like, the most I can pay is probably $5. And she's like, he's not going to take that. I was like, well, can you just ask him? I mean, because I'm like, to me, it looks like to me he's in a desperate situation, probably needs money for legal fees or whatever. And you guys are liquidating. You have to be. He's going to jail. And he was going to jail for like a 30-year sentence. This wasn't no like 2-year sentence. I mean, what he did was crazy. Anyways, she comes back and says, okay, he'll take the $5,000. My problem was I didn't even have $5,000 at that time. So I was like, can I send you $1,000 for the next 5 months? And she was like, what? And I was like, I don't have $5,000. They let me send them $1,000 for 5 months. And once I did that, they transferred the domain to me. And that's how I'm still today, 20 years later, the owner of blacknews.com.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a story.
And I forgot the guy's name. That's weird. I really did forget his name.
Wow. So you sent them, you were 19 at the time?
I was 19 years old at the time.
Wow. Wow. You really had a business mind. So you have blacknews.com. What was your next step?
So I knew once I got blacknews.com that would be big because it just sounded good. It had that official sound to it, like blacknews.com. People who never even heard of blacknews.com would think they heard of it. And so when I got that domain and redesigned the website for that and relaunched the website as blacknews.com, it just took off from there. I mean, it was extremely popular. We got tons of traffic, tons of people looking to read the news. We started monetizing with Google Ads, but we would also work with advertisers on the side. And then a friend of mine's, a business partner of mine's, who's still a friend and business partner to this day, he gave me a huge suggestion because I told him, I said, you know, a lot of people are sending me their stories, they're sending me press releases, and it's kind of overwhelming. He says, well, why don't you just charge them? So to publish their story. And I was like, that's a good idea, but I could do more than that. I said, I want to launch a press release distribution service where not only do I publish their story, I'm going to send their story to every other Black newspaper, magazine, TV station, radio station, and blog that's out there. That's how I created blackpr.com.
Wow.
And for a long time, that was my company, blacknews.com and blackpr.com. So I was making money from the ad revenue for Black News, and then I was charging a fee of, it's the same fee that I charge today, actually, $150 to $250 for blackpr.com to help people not just push their story out to my site, but get it out to the entire network of media outlets that target
So when you decided to create the distribution service, did you already have all those relationships to distribute?
No. You want to know how I got, I'll just tell you, I'll just share this on your show. I would never share this on any other show. There was a book out at the time that literally had, so remember, this is 20 years ago. Back newspapers and magazines, they wanted you to send them press releases via fax. So there was a book out at the time that had all the fax numbers of all the newspapers in the country. So all you had to do was go through and find out which of these were Black outlets, which is what I did, and then I added those to my distribution list.
So you built your database from scratch, pretty much.
Basically. But here's the thing. So when I started faxing them, and I was sending them good stories, right? Because even to this day, we always like review and doctor up the stories so that they're well-written and that they're attention-grabbing.
Mm-hmm.
Giving them good stories. Remember, that's free for them. So newspaper can print this story for free. This is one less reporter or writer that they have to hire.
Right.
They've got good free content. So once I got them hooked to that, then yeah, when things started to transpire over to email, it was just like, they were making sure that they were in contact with us. So to this day, nobody is on our distribution list who didn't ask to be there. Everybody.
Wow.
That
received,
so well results for people.
That's awesome. So, So you built this database, start sending out the content, the publications got hooked, and then what else happened after that?
So it was that way for a long time. It was just about increasing traffic to Black News, increasing clients to Black PR.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started experimenting with other ideas. So you mentioned Grants for Women. I remember launching grantsforwomen.org. I just saw it as a necessity. I figured that there would be a demand for a website that really teaches women about all of the financial opportunities that are available to them. Not just like scholarship stuff, but also like grants for business and help for women who are like survivors of domestic violence or anything like that.
Right.
So I launched that. And that was a success. And then somewhere in there, I got into, okay, I really want to build a portfolio of more African-American sites because that was always my strong point. Obviously, that's the audience that I would understand best, being an African-American. So somewhere in there, I can't tell you what year it was, but I ended up launching blackbusiness.com.
Okay.
Which is doing well. And then me and my partner, we ended up acquiring blackhistory.com. That's another crazy story.
So what made you acquire blackhistory.com? And tell me a little bit more about that website.
So blackhistory.com, I was interested in it because one, I didn't see, and to this day, I don't see a dominant Black-owned website that really focuses on telling our history. And when I say our history, I mean like what happened up to everything that just happened 5 minutes ago. Like that's the history now.
Right.
Sometimes when we think about Black history, the first direction that goes into is kind of like, oh yeah, Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, and Frederick Douglass. But there's so many other stories. Like what happened in the 1990s in the African-American community, that's Black history. What happened in the 2000s in the Black community, that's Black history. And then there's stuff that did happen like in the era of like Martin Luther King or even before that just really isn't well documented.
Right. So
I'm kind of a vulture when it comes to domains, and I feel really strong about, if you're going to do it, get the right domain for it.
Can you talk a little bit about that, having the right domain and how important it is for a brand and a business?
Yes. Having the right domain is extremely important because, one, you always want to create that I heard of you syndrome. Whereas when you mention your website, people, even if they haven't heard of you, they think they have because it just sounds official.
Right.
For me, like if I'm going to launch a site about Black history, I want blackhistory.com. If I'm going to launch a site about Black news, I want blacknews.com. If I'm going to launch a website about Black business and the Black business community, I want blackbusiness.com. So I fight really hard to get the right domains. And yeah, people should do the same thing. And not to mention that, and you know this being as an SEO person, SEO queen,
right?
It helps a lot as well with your search engine optimization when you're
absolutely
keywords that you want people to be searching for are the keywords that are in your domain. That helps.
Right. So speaking of keywords, and you know, we're still kind of in this pandemic. Well, we're not kind of, we are. You have a website called blackjobs.com. So what is your, for my listeners who aren't entrepreneurs, who are looking for employment, what can you share with them about blackjobs.com?
Good question. So I created blackjobs.com not even 2 years ago. And the goal was to connect employers who support diversity and inclusion with obviously African-American job candidates. The website is a huge success. We're working with hundreds of companies and every day adding more and more new employers. It's basically a job board. It's free to use to the job applicants. Obviously the employers, they have to pay to get their jobs listed.
Mm-hmm.
But we're basically connecting the, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but like the Black unemployment rate in the US is always almost double the national unemployment rate.
Right.
Now the national unemployment rate is like around 8-9%. Black unemployment rate is like 14%.
Right.
Not quite, but not that far from it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this has to do with the fact that companies don't really make a real effort to recruit African Americans. So that's what blackjobs.com does. It kind of bridges that gap. And the jobs that we are promoting to the Black community are real jobs, well-paying jobs, and they're not jobs that, like, you know, like janitor. And there's nothing wrong with being a janitor, but it's not like, you know, cashier or fast food worker jobs. These are professional level jobs.
Positioned. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was on the website blackjobs.com the other day, and I was really impressed at the quality, and you know, there were some Fortune 500 companies there, a lot of Fortune 1000 companies there, just a lot of nonprofits doing some amazing things.
True.
And
there's so many companies. Here's what's interesting. There are a lot of companies out there that are hiring that, like, most of us have never even heard of.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. And so it's cool to be able to do that, to kind of create the website that bridges everybody together. So if you're looking for a job, a lot of people are thinking that there are no jobs, because that's kind of the narrative that CNN is feeding.
Yeah. They keep on saying, oh, there's no jobs and da, da, da. But there's a lot of companies looking to hire people right now.
It's true. And the number one complaint that I hear from our clients, our employers, is that we're not getting enough resumes. So it is true that, you know, unemployment is high right now. And it's definitely true that a lot of jobs were lost. And a lot of industries are like really on pause right now, especially like anything like has to do with like event management, or like movie theaters or anything like that. Anything that has to do with people meeting together in groups, those type of industries are on pause right now. But a lot of companies are figuring out how to operate remotely and online, and they're hiring. They're hiring. And then there's companies, and like I always encourage people to consider opportunities that may not be in your area, because a lot of companies are even willing to like help you financially relocate to where they are. And they're even paying people signing bonuses. It's crazy.
Right. So
I'll throw in this. I didn't mean to cut you off. One more point.
Okay.
A lot of companies are not even, they don't even care if you have a college degree. A lot of these guys just want to know if you have the skills and the experience. Some of these guys want you to like be certified, but they're willing to, you know, to train you for free. Like not everybody, things have changed a lot. It's not all about having a degree anymore.
Wow. So you've heard it on the Jazz and Tech Lounge from Mr. Dante Lee. You don't necessarily need a degree. You just need the skills to be hired, and blackjobs.com has a lot of jobs available. So, you know, I thank you for your time, and we're getting close to the end here, but I wanted to ask you, what three tips would you give to entrepreneurs to be successful using online technology for their business?
Wow, good question. Number one, you have to invest in online advertising. So this always kind of shocks me when I meet entrepreneurs who have a website, they're selling either a service or product online, and I ask them a simple question: how much do you spend a month promoting your website? And usually the answer is anywhere from $0 to like $25.
Wait, what?
$0 to $25.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people, especially in our community, underestimate the value of online advertising. So there is a reason why Google and Facebook are multi-billion dollar corporations, because they allow you to advertise, and it's very, very effective.
Mm-hmm.
So that's tip number one, invest in online advertising. Now, I'm not just saying just throw money anywhere, but I mean, there are—
Be strategic.
Exactly. Be strategic. Number two, what you do, right? I highly recommend that people invest in some type of search engine optimization strategy.
Mm-hmm.
As a lot of people either underestimate that or don't even know what it is.
Right.
And there's so much organic traffic that can be coming your way, which could turn into customers if your website is properly search engine optimized.
Right.
And remember, there's three search engines to optimize. You know this already. I'm just talking to your audience. There's Google, there's Yahoo, and then there's Bing.
Right.
And even though we know that Google gets a big chunk of that traffic, I wouldn't ignore traffic coming from Yahoo or potential traffic coming from Yahoo and Bing.
Exactly. So
That's important. Search engine optimization, as well as investing in some type of online advertising campaign. And finally, social media. So it amazes me to this day how most people tend to only use social media for personal affairs and not use it too much to promote their business or to really, really focus on engaging their followers in a way that's going to eventually lead to some type of transaction with you.
Wow. So,
I think that's important. If you follow me on social media.
I follow you on Facebook religiously.
Thank you. And I appreciate that. And yeah, you will see that my Facebook page, I use
very that. Engaging.
Yeah. And the thing is, my strategy is to be a resource. I use my social media page to be a resource to people, to give away helpful information, to inspire people, to motivate them, to educate them, to inform them. And what that does is it builds up a repertoire, right? It builds up a reputation, whereas people just see me as the go-to guy, or they just see me as the guy who knows business. And so sometimes, in fact, a lot, I get messages from people that literally say, I don't know what you do, but I'm interested in your services. And that's interesting, because they're sold right before. I don't even have to make a sales pitch. They're already sold. So once I explain to them what I do, they're like, oh, yeah, I want that. But they were already sold before I even explained it. And that's the kind of reaction you want to create. Like, you want to just be a reliable, credible source in your industry, whatever it may be. But those are the secrets that I have to share to any entrepreneur that wants to make money online.
Which, by the way, that's awesome.
And how much money do entrepreneurs make online every day? It's crazy. It's like the number of daily online transactions.
I think it has to be in the billions.
Daily. Yeah, it's crazy.
It has to be in the billions. I know, like, yearly, you're talking about just on Google alone, there's a trillion, 2 trillion searches happening annually.
Wow.
And so, I mean, breaking that down, I mean, just my industry alone, our industry of digital marketing and software development and just internet, that's a $1.7 trillion market.
A year. Wow.
And, yeah. And that's not including, you know, the size of like the clothing industry or the Hollywood or music, or, I mean, there's tons of industries that are, you know, hundreds of millions in size or billions in size, but the digital marketing space is literally $1.7 trillion because everybody needs a website. Everybody needs, you know, digital presence on, you know, social media and the like.
I know that there are more online transactions than there are offline transactions.
Yeah, that, I think that happened a couple of years ago.
Even book sales, right? More books are bought online now than bought
in
books.
It's true.
More songs are bought digitally than are bought like, you know, in CDs. Like, I think some major retailers like Target and others, they stopped selling CDs because it's all being done online now.
Well, I, you know, it's harder and harder to purchase a CD, but I think, you know, I heard that vinyl is starting to come back because of the whole nostalgia thing, but you know, markets ebb and flow, and the only way to stay on top of it is to, you know, research your keywords and spend those dollars in advertising. When you said that some people spend only $25 a month in advertising, that's shocking because I've seen budgets anywhere from millions, hundreds of millions, all the way down to, you know, tens of thousands. And, you know, that's how you get the economies of scale with your company revenues, by leveraging other networks and pushing your content out to as many eyes as possible. So Dante, do you have any shout outs before we leave?
Shout outs. Let me give a shout out to Z Scott, the SEO queen. And nope, not anymore. Not any others. Let's just give a shout out to you for having me on your show.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm gonna give a shout out to Dante Lee, the owner and founder of BlackPR.com, BlackNews.com, BlackBusiness.com, BlackHistory.com, and BlackJobs.com, and a host of other websites. I am so excited about the upcoming launch of The Revenue Doctor. He really lives up to his name as The Revenue Doctor. If you have not utilized BlackPR.com, I highly, 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 highly recommend that you spend your $150 or $250 to promote your story today, and make sure you do it early because it's a high demand service. It's
very
effective. You know how you go to those restaurants and you see the line out the corner because the food is so good? That's what happens at BlackPR.com. You know, people really get their story picked up. I have several clients, present and past clients, who have advertised through BlackPR who've gotten picked up by some major news outlets. And so you definitely want to utilize that to get the additional visibility to your company. With that being said, you've been listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music while listening to music and exploring all the success that you can get with technology, business, and music. We are on Bashani Radio. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. This is Lady Z, and you've been listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge. Thank you so much, and until next time.
This is Dante Lee, and you are listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.